The physician-patient relationship is changing, as is the concept of medical professionalism. Is it time to redefine what we mean by medical professionalism? And how will that affect your relationship with your doctor? Hi, welcome to the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, go to practicalbioethics.org. That's practicalbioethics.org. Dr. Gary Pettit is a neonatologist, a professor of pediatrics at the University of Missouri Kansas City School of Medicine, director of the Office of Research Integrity at Children's Mercy Hospital in Kansas City, and a fellow at the Center for Practical Bioethics. You're a busy man.
I am at that.
Well, we appreciate you spending time with us on the Bioethics Channel.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Now, November 10th, 2009, you're presenting a lecture entitled Professionalism, What's Trust, Not Truth, Got to Do with It. What will you be covering that evening?
We will be exploring the evolution of the concept of professionalism in medicine and attempting to address one of the important questions that's arisen today, and that is, what is the role of professionalism in what is rapidly becoming a more complex and complicated profession of medicine? The introductory lines to the Charles Dickens classic, A Tale of Two Cities, is an appropriate descriptor for what we as physicians and patients face in medicine today. And that classic work began with the words, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And I think we see that reflected in today's medicine. There is no question that medicine, as practiced here in the United States and in most Western countries of the world today, has achieved a level of outcome that was heretofore unexpected. It's undoubtedly the best medicine that one could find. On the other hand, in this country today, we're looking at this medical care which is not available to everyone in our country. There are segments of our population who lack appropriate care because they lack access to the care for those the providers would offer. Basically, they lack insurance and they lack the ability to pay for it. And that's an issue of major concern to most of us in this country. We're facing a cost environment in which medicine is becoming much more expensive. Its inflation rate is anywhere from 2 to 3 times greater than the inflation rate for other products, and it's simply being priced out of the reach of even many of those who have insurance. So it's becoming very costly. Its availability is not what we would like. And in the long run, there are those who argue that for the amount of money that we spend, we're not getting the value from the product that we should. As these systems have evolved, I think physicians have come under more and more pressure to help control those costs and to be more equitable in the delivery of health care. On the one hand, physicians are often asked to be a gateway to medical services which are otherwise expensive. And so the physician faces a certain dilemma. Who am I serving here? Am I serving the economic characteristics of the system? Am I trying to reduce costs? Am I trying to limit access to expensive technologies? Or am I the representative of the patient who that says I do what the patient needs for their best interest? And those often conflict. If we go back in time, it seems unquestionable that this altruistic concept of the physician-patient relationship, where we provide what the patient needs, what's in the patient's best interest, who decides what the patient's best interest is, may be another discussion. But we're put in that uncomfortable dilemma oftentimes of worrying about the cost of what we do and whether we can afford it, and at the same time making sure that patients have access to the care that we feel they need.
So medicine has become more complex. The market has become more complex.
Right.
And doctors and patients, perhaps, feel somewhat caught in the middle with these two competing and conflicting pressures.
Well, they do. And I think there is even some competition at the doctor-patient level. It's survey data among patients is interesting. If you ask the general public how they feel about the American system, there's this pervasive feeling that it's broken, that it needs to be fixed, that it's not working, that we need to change it. But if you drill down in the patient surveys and say and start asking them specific questions, it becomes apparent that not only do they feel that this system is broken, but it's broken for everybody else. It's working good for me. I like my doctor.
It's about like the congressman. I hate Congress, but my member of Congress is great.
A lot of similarities there. So there's this paradox, conundrum, if you will, that, yes, we need to do something. We need to fix this system, but don't you dare change it.
But the idea of professionalism for physicians, that's a bedrock kind of foundation for a doctor, isn't it? That he or she needs to be a professional?
Medicine is the physician-patient relationship. I mean, that's a pretty good definition of medicine. It's that healing, that empathetic, that caring relationship that develops between a doctor and a patient that I think is as important as the medication and tests you run in terms of healing a patient. Patients, I think, respond to doctors who listen, doctors who are empathetic, doctors who pursue patients' complaints thoroughly. You know, the old adage is an illness is what you have when you come to the doctor, a disease is what you have when you go home. And now whether we affect a cure or not, there are a few things we can cure, but we should affect healing in each of those relationships.
Now it seems to me with that pressure, though, doesn't it come down to trust?
Well, that's a very important part of it. Doctors, in our current scheme, doctors don't get paid to talk to patients. They get paid to do things, specifically procedures. So if we go back a little bit in time, if you would have gone into your doctor and said, I have a headache, now your doctor would have asked where it was, what it was like, when it came on, would do a careful examination to see if there were any physical effects from your headache. And at the end of this, you would come to a conclusion about whether this was serious or not. And you and your physician would perhaps agree that, well, let's follow this. I'd like to see you back in a month, or let's take some pain relievers and see if it gets better. And today you come into a physician's office, they often don't have the time to sit and have those discussions. It's of no economic advantage to them and their office to have that discussion. So when you come in and say, you know, doc, I've got a headache, he might likely say, well, why don't we get an MRI and see what's there?
Sure, yeah.
And so this technology has really intruded upon the doctor-patient relationship.
And hasn't that changed the expectation of patients then?
It has. It's changed the expectation, but I think it's also changed the satisfaction level. I think one of the important things patients when they come to a doctor's office is they don't feel good. They think something's wrong, and they want to talk about that, and they want you to listen, and they want some guidance, and they want somebody just to hear them. And I think when you establish those, you establish a level of trust both ways. The patient trusts that the physician is truly interested in what's bothering them and wants to help them. And the physician also with this develops a certain trust that the patient is telling him what he needs to know or she needs to know to help them make the judgments that they need to make. So at the heart of this all, I think, is, and your point is absolutely on, I think at the heart of this whole thing is a trust. And has that trust been eroded by technology, by economic pressures in our current environment?
How will medical professionalism then change, assuming that healthcare reform comes about and that these in a medical encounter, how will the medical professionalism change? How will that change a typical doctor's visit whenever an individual comes in for a headache or something else?
Right. And I think that's an excellent question. And it's one of the issues I think we really need to focus on when we focus on this reform situation. I think we need to recreate this environment of engagement between a physician and his patient. Right now, if a doctor were to see a patient, he might, and let's just use this example, he might get $20 for an office visit.
A copay.
Yeah, and that visit can be 5 minutes, it can be 30 minutes, but all you're going to get for an office visit is $20. On the other hand, if a doctor performs a procedure, for instance, if it's a heart specialist and he says, well, let's get an EKG, let's do a treadmill test, let's look at some of it. Then the doctor will get paid not the $20, but he may get paid, say, $100 for the EKG and maybe $500 for the treadmill test. And at the end of this, he might say, well, you know, your EKG is fine, your treadmill looks good, it doesn't appear that your chest pain is due to coronary problems, so we'll do this. Those are all answers that are readily available by two of the most important diagnostic tools at the physician's hands, a good history and a complete physical examination. How do we get back to that? We have to incentivize that type of relationship. And so the question is, if a doctor can, with these techniques, make a patient better, perhaps heal a patient, shouldn't that be worth as much or more as a high-tech procedure that in the long run adds no value to the decision-making? So we've got to refocus, and initially I think it needs to be an economic refocus. Market incentives work in medicine.
There's a history for that.
There's a history for that, and they're working right now to drive medicine into specialty practices, high technology, and minimizing the time that a doctor spends with what some people call the warm, fuzzy part of medicine, talking to patients and relating to patients. We need to redirect those incentives back to preventive services, back to the type of care which recognizes the importance of this trust between a doctor and a physician and the sharing of information. The patient knows what he has when he comes in or she comes in to see you. If you let him or her tell you what he has, you will both find out what the problem is.
So will health reform drive this redefinition of medical professionalism, or will it take something else?
Well, my opinion, and that and $5 will probably get you a Starbucks.
Well, I want $20 for the office visit. Go ahead.
There is not much in the reform packages that I see right now that really is focusing on this issue. And I think it's a critical focus. The people who can make our healthcare system more affordable are the two parties which at the moment are seemingly the least involved in that, doctors and patients. And by the way they relate, by the way they make decisions, and in the way they do things will have the greatest impact on a greater impact on healthcare than anything we're talking about now. I know doctors don't, and I don't think patients want more regulations in their lives. Patients want to be able to choose their doctor. They want to be able to consider the alternatives in their health care, and they want to do things that fall in line with their value systems and their approach to life. And that suggests that a one-size healthcare package is not going to fit all. But if we're left to make the cogent decisions in a proper fashion, I think that alone can bring down cost of health care, certainly per capita cost.
Will the satisfaction be the same for doctors within this realm of professionalism?
I think that, well, the satisfaction for doctors, I think, in my mind, is unquestionable. I think they're just about every doctor that I know enjoys spending time with patients, likes to be able to help them with their problems. This is what they go in. If you interview medical students when they walk in the door, as we do at our school, they are some of the most idealistic young people you could imagine, and they want to help. That's, I mean, why did you go into medicine? I want to help people. You know, I worked at a hospital as a candy striper, and I saw people getting better. I want to help people. And so they come in with this very idealistic approach. Now, we in medical education and medicine, I think, manage to quash that as we send them through these ever-reductionist educational system, and they come out the other end, recognize the disease is the enemy and the patient's the battlefield on which the war will be fought. We need to redirect some of these back to the preventive and primary care stage, back to the unique and very important features of the physician-patient relationship. Among professions, there are probably few other professions, perhaps the ministry, perhaps a small handful of others that have this unique relationship with the people that they care for and develop this close interpersonal contact. That's gone by the wayside as we've commodified medicine and turned it into a product that you can market and now market through Walmart. It's become just like Kleenex and cucumbers, a product. And we need to get back to this concept that it is not just a product. It's a very important relationship that needs to be fostered. Physicians are by and large eager to travel that path, and I think most patients are eager to travel that path. They just feel at this point so constrained by the environment they work in that it's hard to figure out how to get to that path and get down that road.
Dr. Gary Pettit is a neonatologist and a fellow at the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about his lecture on November 10th, 2009, go to the center's website at practicalbioethics.org. That's practicalbioethics.org. You've been listening to the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. I'm your host, Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.